The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Mick Norton, John Budden and Mark Slater in the studio. It's Newbury, Newcastle and Nottingham on Friday afternoon. We also have Catterick and Newmarket on Friday evening, and there's also racing over in Ireland from Tramore as well, so plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Lord John Budden. How are you, John?
I'm very well indeed, Mark. Great to be back here. And yes, I even had a winning nap yesterday. Yes. A rarity.
Yes. Well, hopefully many more to come, John. And we've got some good racing for you to pick from coming up as well. There's York next week and all sorts of good racing coming up.
There is tremendous racing coming up and some really great horses running.
Yes, and let's talk about some of those. Kingman, I suppose people would say, is a pretty great horse. Doesn't run at York, of course. He runs this weekend in the Prix Jacques Le Marwar. And John Gosden has been rather bullish about him, saying that he's better than ever. He's 1-3 to win the race. Olympic Glory is the nearest in opposition at 9-2. 10-1 for Esoteric. Anadin is 14s, 16s for Rosina. And Red Dubawi is the 50-1 outsider. If Kingman is better than ever, John, then he's going to be a pretty hard horse to beat, isn't he?
Yes, it'll be a terrible anticlimax if he gets beaten on Sunday, Mark. That's the first thing to say. You know, this is a horse who's really boosted by the media, hyped up, and on what he's done, yes, deserves to be so. He ought to win on Sunday because Olympic Glory, although a good horse at his best and has run extremely well in France before now, disappointed really badly himself last time out. And I just feel that Kingman, you know, at 3-1 on, has got to win this race in fine style. France. Ground, generally softer perhaps than it is here. Mm-hmm. That won't worry Kingman. Pace is interesting. I suppose with Olympic Glory being the chief opposition, it may not come into the argument quite so much. But normally, they trot around in France, don't they, for about two-thirds of the contest and then sprint for home. Mm. I don't think that's a worry for Kingman. I mean, that's what happened at Goodwood. And admittedly, it was for slightly different circumstances. I think the connections were worried about the firm ground at Goodwood and therefore didn't want the horse to be given too much of a contest throughout the event. But he showed when getting up to beat Toronado in the space of about half a furlong with a fantastic acceleration that he can quicken really well off a slow pace. So if they try and slow it down on Sunday, it shouldn't be a problem. It ought to be Kingman to show what a good horse he is, what more than that, what a tremendous prospect he is. And as I say, it'd be terribly disappointing if he doesn't win really well.
Okay. Richard Hannan had both Olympic Glory and Toronado in the lineup earlier on in the week. Now down to just Olympic Glory, so we expected that, and that's what's happened. So we'll find out what happens there on Sunday. That should be a good race. Next week, we have York, of course, the Ebor meeting, and one of the big stars there will be Australia if he goes to the race, John. But a few question marks as we record this about whether he'll actually go to York.
Yes, I have no sort of inner line to Ballydoyle at all. But I just get the slight impression from what one's been reading and a bit of the vibes that his presence at York is not 100% sure. And that was underlined, of course, in the Racing Post today. And I was rather confused by the headline when I looked at it to begin with. You know, it suggested the headline that Joseph O'Brien had been sacked. Then if you read it rather more carefully, he hadn't been sacked at all. It was just that he wasn't going to be able to do the weight and therefore, you know, was going to have to give up the ride for someone else. Now, the someone else is very much a question mark.
It is, yes.
And as far as I could see, Mark, there was no sort of suggestion yet as to what the question mark might be filled by. Rather, a slightly dubious statement by Aidan O'Brien about we have to make certain that he's going to run first before looking for a suitable jockey.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it makes me think that Australia is not a certain runner at York, that the Irish Champion Stakes followed by the R could well be on the agenda. But we will see. It will be very disappointing if he doesn't turn up, I must say.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, Australia, I mean, like you say, the only reason Joseph O'Brien won't ride Australia is because he gets weight from the older horses being a three-year-old, and therefore Joseph can't do the weight. That's simply it. But the question mark, who will ride him, you're right. I mean, Ryan Moore won't because he's on Telescope. The other, Jamie Spencer's riding A-Rod, isn't he, I think, in the race. So,
yes, he is.
So it'd be a question about who will ride. Who do you expect? Do you have anybody in mind, John?
Well, I suspect that they will keep it in-house, to be honest, and that Aidan O'Brien will choose one of his very capable bunch of riders to ride the horse himself. I mean, say Shamey Heffernan springs straight to mind, but I mean, it not necessarily that, but I would tend to think it. But you know, I am definitely worried about the appearance of the horse at York. I may be entirely wrong, but I just get the feeling that there will be a little more definiteness about the situation and to who was going to ride and so on, if connections were really certain that Australia was going to turn up at York.
Yeah, well, we'll have to watch this space and see what happens with Australia. Anything else that you're particularly looking forward to at York next week, John?
Well, I am looking forward to seeing one horse, provided he enters. Now, I have been at various race meetings over the past fortnight or so, and the most recent at Carlisle, but I was at Musselburgh, where there was a good two-mile race, £25,000 event, just a couple of Fridays ago, and Mark Johnston had Alex, my boy, entered for this race. I have been very impressed with this horse. He looks a really lovely sort, and Mark was there. I thought that was interesting because, you know, he doesn't travel all that much to what you might call slightly mundane meetings at Musselburgh. However, Alex, my boy, drifted in the market. I thought he might even start odds on. He, in fact, started at 6-4, but he won with real authority. Mm-hmm. Now, it wasn't a great race, but it was the style of the victory. And afterwards, Mark Johnston was really bullish. Now, you know, he was smiling and absolutely delighted with the way that Alex, my boy, had won. And if you look back at the form a bit, you will see that he's been unlucky. He came up to Musselburgh for the Edinburgh Cup in the middle of June. He failed to come out of the stalls quite quickly enough. It was a very rough race. He didn't do anything until hitting the last two furlongs, where he ran on very strongly and finished eighth. He then went to Ascot shortly afterwards, had an appalling draw, and was very slow out of the stalls, never got basically into the contest again. But if you watched it, he was running on quite nicely at the end. He then won at Haydock well, and he's also won extremely well at Musselburgh. Now, there was even talk about the St. Ledger for this horse after the race, but he's only rated in the mid-90s, so that'd be a tremendous leap. The Melrose Handicap is the one that Alex, my boy, I understand, is certainly going to be penciled in for. And if he is, I think he'll run very well indeed.
Okay. Keep an eye out for that then. See if Alex, my boy, turns up in the Melrose Handicap. We'll look forward to all that next week, of course, as the time gets nearer. But we must move on, John. We'll leave the news there and we'll get your thoughts next on Friday's racing.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, then on to Friday's racings. John has picked out three races for us, one of them up at Newcastle and another couple of them at Catterick. So we'll start at Newcastle in their 2:30. This is a Class 4 handicap for three-year-olds and older. Over seven furlongs, we have 14 of them in the lineup as we record this. A few of them come into this in winning form, John, the likes of Mr. McLaren and Shared Equity. and there's other horses that arrive here in pretty good form without winning as well recently. Escape to Glory and Talent Scout. It's quite an open race, John. Who'd you like here?
Yes. Well, I think several horses in the race. First of all, I think it's going to be run at a pretty sharp gallop mark. Okay. There's little doubt about that. We have, for example, got Talent Scout in the race, as you mentioned. Gemma Tutty will ride for Mother Karen. Talent Scout does nothing except go out in front, and was very unlucky actually to be beaten at Carlisle last time out in the ladies only evening. Just got mugged by Silver Rhyme, who actually does come into the contest a little bit as well. And Talent Scout, I don't think, will like soft ground, so if it is to rain anymore, I would just pencil through, but he'll make a good effort. Then Michael Dodds has got a couple here in the race. Cara's Request does nothing also but really grind out from the front. Mm-hmm. A bit unlucky not to have won at Chester a couple of outings ago. One at Musselburgh from the front, first time out this season. Lovely grey. Seven furlongs, very much a trip. But, again, tends to be mugged in the closing stages. That could well open the way for Michael Dodds's second runner in the race, Escape to Glory. I said Silver Rhyme came into this contest a little bit later when talking about Talent Scout, and it does come in, Silver Rhyme, the form link with Escape to Glory. Yep. Beaten last time out, Escape to Glory, but the ground was pretty firm on that occasion. I thought ran well at Ayr the time before. A winner from Powerful Presence and, in third place, Silver Rhyme.
Yes.
Certainly beat Silver Rhyme quite comfortably, and on that link should certainly beat Talent Scout. So I think that Escape to Glory is a player, and then we have the two three-year-olds who are likely to play a major part. Mr. McLaren won well at Thirsk, missed a race rather surprisingly last week. The Magic Wand Man continues to send out winners. David O'Meara, obviously he's got a major chance. The one I like, though, is Shared Equity. Jed O'Keefe doesn't have a big stable, Jed O'Keefe, but his horses have been running well throughout the season. Graham Lee in the saddle, and Shared Equity has won both the last two outings in good style over six furlongs at Newcastle, and then more recently a stiff track at Ponte, beating Smidgen. I don't think the form is great, but the horse seems on an upwardly mobile profile. Mm-hmm. And he'll certainly go well here at Newcastle, where the ground is likely to have a bit of cut in it. So, a really open race. I think the older horses, Escape to Glory, is the one who catches the eye, but I will go with Shared Equity to make it a three-timer.
Okay, Shared Equity to land the hat-trick in the 2:30 at Newcastle then. We go to Catterick for the next two races, and the first of them is the 5:40, and this is an amateur rider's handicap for three-year-olds and older over a mile and a half, and we've got 13 of them in the lineup here. John, we've got good old Tinseltown coming back to defend his crown. He won this race last year, but I think it might be a bit of a big ask to do it again this year, and plenty of chances in here, John. Who do you like in this race?
I like this race. Why I've picked it, it's got some really good amateur riders in it, as well as some perfectly sound horses. You mentioned Tinseltown. I don't think Tinseltown will win this race, but I did, oddly enough, nap Tinseltown when it won at Catterick. Catterick is very much Tinseltown's course, and you know, he'll set quite a good pace here. But sort of going down from the top, I said there were some interesting amateur riders in the race, and Northside Prince represents Alan Swinbank, and in the saddle is 17-year-old Megan Nichols. Mm-hmm. And she's obviously a talent, and she's had quite a bit of success. But my goodness, she had a scowl on her face when I saw her last at Carlisle. She was riding two horses for Alan Swinbank, her Hail Bold Chief in the opener, who got done by a whisker. And, you know, it was quite clear that Miss Nichols thought she had won or ought to have won. And then later in the evening, she was riding Giovanni Jack, who was a short-priced favourite, and that got done as well. So poor Megan had, you know, a little bit of the reverse side. Northside Prince could go well, is a decent horse and will get a very good ride. Then we have all kinds of others in the contest, and the one I like and will go for is Unix Michelangelo. Mick Easterby has his team in very good shape indeed, and This horse won, absolutely pulling a couple of carts at Beverley last time out. Shot away in the closing stages. Mick Easterby had two horses in the race. It was an amateur riders' race again. The great Serena Brotherton was on City Ground, and City Ground looked like winning for a moment, but Your Next Michelangelo shot away and won by six lengths. Was due to run at Carlisle in the ladies' evening night, ladies' only night, but didn't turn up for that. But is declared here on slightly softer ground. City Ground has boosted the form with a win at Brighton since that outing. So I do think Your Next Michelangelo's got a really good chance. But other very good young riders in the contest, for example, are Tom Hamilton, who's got a ride on Tacker Tough. I don't think even his ability will make that win. And then we've got young Alex Ferguson, who's on a horse trained by Saeed Bin Saror, Arabian Beauty. Now, this young man is still in his teenagers, the son of John Ferguson, very, very decent rider. I don't know a great deal about the horse, but it finished fourth, I think, last time out. And interesting runner, and Serena's in it too. Serena Brotherton. So a fascinating amateur riders race. I'm going to go though with Your Next Michelangelo to win for Joanna Mason and Mick Easterby.
Okay, on to the 7:45 at Catterick next. This is a Class 6 handicap for 3-year-olds and older. It's over 5 furlongs, so be fast and furious. This one, 14 of them in the lineup here, John. And again, it's another open race. You're picking some tricky ones for Friday.
Yeah, I am tricky ones. I always seem to go in at the deep end, as you might say, Mark. And the 5-furlong sprint at Catterick. Interesting one, though. Win for Power. Tracy Waggart, you know. Her horse is in really great shape. And she's had something like 12 winners this summer, and they're going extremely well. And she runs them almost as often as Ruth Carr used to run her horses. I saw Win for Power win at Musselburgh, and Joe Fanning was in the saddle on that occasion. He's run twice since then, getting beaten, but Catterick will suit him better, and he goes really well for Joe Fanning. Amazing month Joe's had, incidentally, Mark. You know, I couldn't believe it. About a month ago, I looked to see where Jay Fanning was in the table, and he was languishing in mid-div, round about 40 mark, and now he's third in the title race with 84 or 85 winners. It's quite astonishing.
Flying, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely flying. So he'll give Win for Power a good run. I thought, though, there were two who stuck out in this race, and they were Spring Bird, the first one, and Showtime Star, the second one. We'll take Showtime Star first of all. This is another Alan Swinbank runner. Plenty of runners he's having at the moment. Glad to say he's better. Had a small heart attack in the early part of the summer, but he was racing at Carlisle last week, so it's good news. David Allen rides, and I thought that Showtime Star ran well at Catterick last time out. Only just beaten, incidentally, by a Tracy Waggart horse. Solar Spirit, beaten a short head, indicating that there's plenty of speed, plus the ability to stay the trip will go well. But the selection will be Spring Bird, who's ideally drawn at one. And this is a horse who loves to get out of the stalls like a flash and make every yard of the running. He did so last time out at Newcastle. He beat Mission Impossible, who wasn't disgraced next time out. And Dartrix, I went for in that race, ran pretty well, finished fourth. Could be quite an interesting contest. That was at Newcastle. Fairly stiff track. Likes Catterick. I fancy he's extremely well drawn. And Dandy Nichols has his team in excellent shape. So for me, it will be Spring Bird just to get the better of Showtime Star.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, Sean. Let's just have a quick summary of your selections, if you'll spin us through them one more time.
Yes, well, in the 2:30, we have a very open race at Newcastle. I'm going to go for Graham Lee and Jed O'Keefe to win with Shared Equity. Then a fascinating amateur riders race to open this card at Catterick, and we go for Mick Easterby's Your Next Michelangelo, and in a wide open sprint at 7:45 at Catterick, I'm hoping Spring Bird will spring out of the stalls and make all.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, John. Enjoy it on Friday.
Thank you, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Lord Budden on Friday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. And Lord Budden will be in the studio with Mick Norton and Mark Slater. It's Newbury, Newcastle and Nottingham on Friday afternoon, Catterick and Newmarket in the evening. We're also taking the action from Ireland as well, from Tramore. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.